Tonight, I'd like to talk to you all a little bit about being justified, how we are justified. Oftentimes, today's society, we all want to be justified in our actions. We want to be justified. How do they figure out who's guilty in a court of law? Well, they bring forward evidence. And then a jury or judge will decide if this individual is justified by that information that's presented. So when John Smith comes up and is tried, his lawyer, or hopefully if he chooses to do it by himself, he'll do a good job. But that individual that's representing him will lay out this information and say, this is the reason why he's justified in his action, the reason why he's not guilty of said thing. And then the judge or the jury will say, okay, because of these reasons, he's justified. We agree with that. So if you would, turn to your Bibles to Acts the 13th chapter and verse 39. Acts 13 and verse 39. This verse and the next verse that we read will be our basic main text for the evening, what we're going to base the rest of our study off of. Acts 13 and 39. I'm sorry, back up to 38. We'll read 38 and 39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. So what's that saying there? It's saying that according to the law of Moses, the sins which those people under that law would have committed could not be justified, could not be saved because of that law. You can't be tried by that law because no one is perfect. And that's the point of that verse right there, those two verses. Turn to Galatians, the second chapter. Galatians 2 and 16. Again, back up to 15 to get the complete thought. Galatians 2, 15 and 16. Are we Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles? Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through the faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. So right there, if Acts the 13th chapter wasn't clear enough for you, this is pretty clear. Well, by definition, justification, the word that's derived from that, from the scriptures here, denotes the act of pronouncing righteous. An acquittal, like we talked about just a few moments ago. Its precise meaning is determined by that of the verb, to justify. It is used signifying the establishment of a person as just by acquittal of guilt. So we assume, okay, I guess a better way, Wes's version of that, if you see that someone has a potential of being guilty, you lay out what would bring them out of that. What would say, okay, they're not guilty because of this? Proposes guilt and condemnation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter and verse 21. Romans 3, 21. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets. Even the righteous of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Now we know because of that, that all the wages of sin is death. Romans the 6th chapter, turn over to Romans 6 and verse 23. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The overall concept we'll take a look at for a moment of justification, of being justified, it's impossible to be justified by the law or any other law system. All law comes from God. Through God's word, one stands righteous or condemned. And as we just read here in Romans, the third chapter and then the sixth chapter, we know that all men, every single person on this earth has fallen short at one moment in their lives or another. If they haven't, if you've been perfect up to this point in your life, you will fall short. That's what the scriptures say. The law demands justice, and all are convicted by the law as violators of it. As each and every one of us are violators of the law, we will stand convicted by it because it tells us this is how you're going to live your life. This is the way God wants you to live. This is where sometimes we stray. So because we're not inside those parameters, we'll all be convicted of that at one point or another, or already have been. Therefore, our justification must be established apart from the law. So here's the law. Because of our sins, there has to be something. There has to be some way in order for us to be justified inside that law. There has to be something else besides the law to provide salvation for us. Justification necessitates forgiveness of one who has violated God's law, thus allowing one to stand righteous before God. So herein lies our justification. Herein lies our justification. The possibility of justification depends on what God has done for us. The basis of this justification, number one, is God's love. Turn to Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8. Now, David talked about that this morning in his lesson about God's love, that his love was already there. His love was already there before we even knew we needed it or knew it existed. It was already there. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we didn't care, God made that propitiation for us. He set that forth for us. We didn't even know we needed it. But he loved us enough that he made plans ahead of time and took care of it for us. God's mercy is another thing that this is dependent on. Turn to Romans, the 11th chapter, verse 31 and 32. Chapter 11, 31 and 32. So these also now have been disobedient, that one of the mercy shown to you, that they also may now be shown mercy. For God has shut up all in disobedience so that he may show mercy to all. God shows mercy to all by making that propitiation for us ahead of time. He's shown his love and shown his mercy by understanding that we all have a physical side to us and that we will stray from time to time. This is also dependent on God's grace. Turn to Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3, 23 through 25. I've already read this, but it's important to establish this point. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was also to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. Now, obviously, if he didn't love us, if he didn't have mercy for us and didn't provide grace for us, he wouldn't have given his son up for us to die on the cross. But the provisions that were made, we understand that in order for there to be another plan, a help for us, there have to be provisions made so that we can be justified. Those provisions are the atoning blood. Turn to Romans, the fifth chapter. verse 9. Romans 5 and verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So there that it tells us that blood, that sacrifice of Christ, reconciled us. It reconciled us. What's another provision that had to happen in order for this justification to be possible? The resurrection of Christ. Turn to Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 25. Romans 4, 25. He who has delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised before because... Correction. Let me reread that. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Okay, He was raised for us so that this whole thing, each piece of this plan works together and saves us, because we can't be saved by the law. Another provision that has to be possible, or that has to be there in order for this to be possible, is the gospel itself. The plan itself has to be together there for us. Turn to Romans, the 1st chapter, verse 16 and 17. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So for that possibility of justification, it's dependent on the basis of God's love, His mercy, and His grace. And the provisions of Christ, the atoning blood, the resurrection, and the gospel have to be there in order for that to happen. Justification by faith in Christ. Many today, as David has, we've talked about, probably the last 10 lessons or classes and then several sermons, we've talked about those that believe in faith only. Those that say, all you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. Well, we established this morning that God doesn't even hear a sinner's prayer. So how in the world is that going to save them? When what we're about to look at here will also tell us that faith only is not going to save us. It won't. It's not obtained on the basis of works of the law. Turn to Galatians, the 2nd chapter, and verse 16. Galatians 2, 16. We read this already, but in order to make the point, there's another verse I want to tie in with this. We'll start in verse 15. We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. Since the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Turn over to the 5th chapter and verse 4. Galatians 5 and verse 4. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. When we seek to be justified by the law, we can't be. It tells us here that we are severed from it. We are cut off from that. We're cut off from, we've been severed from Christ when we try to do that, when we try to be justified by the law. It's not, this justification is not obtained by strictly being religious, by a religious person, a religious man. Turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter. Matthew chapter 15, 7 through 9. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the precepts of men." So we know that going through the motion, strictly acting religious, is not enough. It's not enough. It's not obtained by meritorious works. Turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, 7 through 9. Ephesians chapter 2, 7 through 9. "So that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of your own selves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." So there we see that it's not by our own selves. It's not by any great deal of works we can do. A lot of people, towards the latter part of their years, those that have waned or never have been quote-unquote religious, will try and work their way into heaven. They'll try and do a bunch of good works. And sometimes we as Christians can kind of take that same stance that, well, I did this many good works this week, so I should be all right. Well, we know right here from Ephesians, the second chapter, that it's not by any amount or any good works that we can do that we obtain this justification. It's not by feelings. As many out there would have you believe today, it's not by feelings. Turn to Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." We know that oftentimes, as we got into discussion last Sunday in class, we were talking about the ends justifying the means. Man will do things that seem right to him at the time. And you know what? They may accomplish some good work. They may do some good things for people. But the ends do not justify the means. We see here that our feelings do not necessitate being right. Our justification is only obtained through the means of redemption in Christ. Turn to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Romans 3 and 24. "Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Okay, so we see it's not in faith. It's not in feelings. It's not in meritorious works. It's not in being religious, and it's not in works of the law. It's in Christ Jesus. Now, obviously, we know here as we move along, our faith is going to be demonstrated by our works, and we do have to have